continue our study in the book of Genesis. Tonight we've come to the fourth chapter. There are 16 verses that I would like to read in your hearing, and we are literally going to talk about the first murder. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you've driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. A great many scholars believe that Cain and Abel might be twins. The description in chapter 4, the first couple of three verses, seems like there may have been two births, but it could have easily been the birth of two sons very close to one another. So there is that possibility that they could have been twins. Either way, Cain came forth first and Abel followed him. So Cain was a few minutes or no more than a few months or years older than Abel. And the two of them were the first two that Adam and Eve bore after God had said to them, "Replenish the earth." We're going to talk tonight about the first murder, but I cannot talk about the first murder without including the word anger. The word anger is important to this chapter because it seems that murder needs a reason, and anger is going to be that reason. And I don't know if you're aware or not, but anger has a number of different steps to it, a number of different stages. One might be mildly irritated, and then you could move from that to indignation, and then you might have wrath. And when we arrive at wrath, it's that strike back thought process. And then fury, where sensitivity and conscience is taken over by something that controls you instead of you being able to control it. And finally, there comes rage. And rage is the gift of a madman. It's what we do when we don't know what we are doing. It is what we do when we can't control who we are and what we are doing. We hear a lot these days about road rage, and we hear about people who, without even a second thought, take the life of someone because they pulled in front, went around, stopped, drove too fast, or too slow. And we all know that in today's society, human flesh seems to be a very cheap commodity. And there are many who would not mind taking someone's life with little or no thought whatsoever. But it's not always been that way, and chapter 4 describes a set of circumstances where Cain grew in his discontent and rebellion against God, from being irritated and then full of wrath and fury and rage, and finally he was out of control and could not in any way keep from doing what he did. Now, that is no excuse, for here's what 1 John chapter 3 says about the incident. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Now, did you know that was in 1 John in the New Testament? An Old Testament mention of the action of Cain against Abel. And this is the message, John says, that you have heard from the very beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew, killed, murdered his brother. So I want us to investigate for just a moment the cause of Cain's anger. The seedbed. What made him so mad? Where did the fury and the wrath and the anger and the rage come from? Cain was a worker of the ground. And for want of a better way to describe him, he's the farmer in the story. And Abel worked with cattle and with sheep. He's the rancher in the story. And you might be able to remember them better by just attaching those two titles. It came time to bring an offering to the Lord, and Cain brought from the fruit of the ground what he had planted, what he had harvested, he brought to the Lord. And Abel brought an animal of sacrifice and slayed that animal so that blood was shed, and brought that sacrifice to the Lord. Immediately, we began to see the spirit of rebellion in Cain. Cain and Abel brought a sacrifice to God. Here's a question. How did they know to bring a sacrifice to God? There can only be one of two ways. Either Adam and Eve taught them to bring sacrifices to God, or else they had a visible representative of God, an angel or God Himself, speak to them about a sacrifice. Now, here's a second thought. If the parents took time to teach them to bring a sacrifice to the Lord, you have to believe that they would have taught them how to bring the right kind of sacrifice to the Lord. If they did not, and the blame goes back on Adam again, look again at the result of the wages of sin. If Adam did not raise his children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord, look again. His eating of the fruit and his disobedience in the first place now is multiplied. It begins to mushroom. It's seen in his own children. And if I could say this before I pass to another thought tonight, be very careful, mom and dad. Not only should you teach your children, you should teach your children well. Not only should you teach your children, you should teach your children truth and nothing but the truth. As hard sometimes as it is to teach truth in love, but teach truth. Anything less than truth does our children no good. The devil can teach them a lie, and society can teach them half-truths. And only the Word of God can teach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So they were told to bring a sacrifice. In my heart of hearts, I have to believe that they were told what kind of sacrifice to bring. And here's where resentment and rebellion begins to build. It's easy, Cain said, for Abel to take a sacrificial animal. He raises them. But look at the product of my hand. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have planted. Look at what I have harvested. Why would God not take the best from my hand if he takes what Abel raises? And in a moment we'll nail that. I hope that you'll never forget it. Abel's sacrifice cost a life. Cain's cost a little work. Abel's sacrifice meant bloodshed. Cain's sacrifice meant sweat. Abel's sacrifice was painful. Could never have that same animal in his flock again. Cain could grow much more from the place he took that which he had brought to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll allow me to tell you this, you see the first false religion right here in Genesis 4. Cain wanted to bring the works of his hand and present that to God as his sacrifice. What do we hear the New Testament ring out loud and clear? It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to his grace that we are saved. Cain wanted God to be pleased with Cain. Abel saw that God could only be pleased with the shedding of blood, and Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, forgiveness, redemption from sin. And so we're challenged to look at this spirit of rebellion and recognize immediately that when Cain came, he rebelled against God's word. He rebelled against God's command. He brought what he wanted to bring and expected it to be good enough. And Abel obeyed God's word, and Abel brought what God had commanded him to bring. And when we obey God, it's always enough. And how does this translate from thousands of years ago to tonight? There might be someone in this very room. If not in this room, I'll assure you that in this city there are many people who think that because they joined a church, they got into a baptismal pool, they keep a certain set of doctrines, they give from time to time to charities and perhaps to the poor, they work and they labor and they minister to others. And there will be a terrible number of people standing before God in the last days that claim to have cast out devils and demons and done many mighty works in the name of the Lord, only to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." So let me be perfectly frank with you tonight. If you bring anything to God except the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you will be rejected. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Christ said, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We see the rebellion building up in Cain's life. We also see a great spirit of resentment. You almost sense the haughtiness and the anger as it builds. God accepted your offering, but why not mine? And then we even get the idea that Cain was not only angry with his brother, he was angry with God. God, you accepted my brother's offering. Why not mine? I labored more abundantly. I'll be honest with you, to harvest a crop, to sweat as you harvest that crop and bring it before God, may very well have been more difficult. It might have been harder. It might have taken more physical energy than bringing a sacrificial animal. It may very well have been, but it wasn't the type. It wasn't the pattern. It wasn't the picture. It was not the purpose that God had laid out. For God had said, blood on the altar, forgiveness from heaven, the works of your hand, and you're accountable for your own sin. And this spirit of resentment, mad at God and mad and angry at his brother. And then the cause of Cain's anger is not only rebellion and resentment, but it's obvious that it's rejection. His feelings became the breeding ground for hate. And one day, while his brother and he are alone in the fields, perhaps even the field where the sacrificial animal had come from, Cain rose up. And depending on the translation that you have, it may say slew his brother. It may say killed his brother. It may say murdered his brother. But let me tell you what the root word from the original Hebrew is. Butchered. Cain butchered his brother. It was not one stab. It was not a quick asphyxiation. He literally butchered him until his brother's blood flowed on the ground like the sacrificial animal's blood had flowed to the ground, causing God to say, your brother's blood cries out to point a finger like Nathan to David and say, you are the man. Guilty of murder in the first degree, the cause of Cain's anger. Look for a moment at the characteristics of Cain's anger, and verse 8 gives us some real insight here. Verse 8 says that Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. We don't know whether this was an angry conversation. We perhaps might be revisiting the fact that when he spoke to his brother, he brings this subject up again. Could I stop for a moment and tell you something? When you fail to forgive and you allow the offense to continue to grind in your mind, and every time you have the opportunity, you bring it back up again, Satan will make sure that you build walls of hate instead of walls of love. When you do not forget and move on and put the past in the past, Satan has an open door to work in your heart and in your mind. And in this case, this conversation must have escalated until the point Cain rose up against his brother and butchered him. It's explosive. It's rage out of control. It's not Cain. And you say, but does that then excuse him? No, because 1 John says it's not Cain anymore. It's Satan in Cain. Now listen, take me seriously for a moment. You can yield yourself to hate and anger and resentment long enough that you open wide the door for demonic and satanic attack. And when the devil comes in, it won't be you. It will be his power, his force, his purpose, and his plan, and you will be nothing more than the puppet, and he pulls the strings. And that, my friend, is a very dangerous position to be in. He simply exploded. Verse 9, he begins to offer somewhat of an excuse. The Lord says to Cain, where's Abel, your brother? It's interesting that every time man sins, God asks a question. Adam, where art you? Where are you? Well, we're here, and we were naked, and we hid ourselves. Cain, where's your brother? What have you done? God knows the answer to all these questions, but God wants us to figure out the answer to the question. So he says, Cain, where is your brother? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Here's my excuse. He's not my responsibility. Whatever happened to him has nothing to do with me. I'm me, he's him, and you should not call upon me to find out where he is. Ah, but you have taken matters into your own hands, and even though you say you're not responsible for this relationship, I just want you to know, I know. I'm the all-seeing eye. I'm the all-knowing one. And his blood cries out as a witness. This is the implication of a courtroom scene, of a witness being called to the stand of a prosecutor saying, is the person who committed this crime in the room? And of Abel's blood saying, it was my brother, it was my brother, it was Cain, it was Cain who rose up, it was Cain who slayed me, it was Cain who shed my blood. That's the implication of what the Lord is saying there. It's a witness. The blood of your brother is a witness on the stand to declare that he saw you and felt you and knew that you were the one who exploded with rage and killed him. And so he excuses himself. I'm not my brother's keeper. If you were here last Sunday morning, I mentioned two passages of Scripture, Matthew 5 and Matthew 18. I want to remind you of those two and won't go any further than that. But when you are angry at your brother, Matthew 5 and Matthew 18 are the two passages you need to rush to, you need to run to, you need to spend time in, you need to pray over, you need to do what it teaches you to do, lest you get out of control. And then finally, let's talk about the consequences of Cain's anger. Verse 13 and following. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You've driven me today away from the ground and from your face. Now follow this. Cain must have loved being a farmer. He could have chosen anything he wanted to do. I'm not trying to be humorous here, but there wasn't a long line of people at the unemployment office looking for the job of farmer. You had Adam, you had Eve, you had Cain, and you had Abel. It is obvious that Cain must have loved tilling the ground. He must have loved watching the sunshine. He must have loved the fact that a mist came up from the earth and watered the plants. It's not going to rain till we get to chapter 6 and Noah gets involved. But he must have loved being a farmer and harvesting. That must have been something that really enthusiastically stirred his mind and stirred his heart. And here's what God said. Because of the rage in you, I'm going to take away from you the earthly thing that you love most. But that's not all. And then Cain said, and you're driving me away from your presence. I'm not only going to take away the earthly thing that you love most, I'm going to remove my presence from your life. And ladies and gentlemen, that is, without a doubt, the worst thing that could ever happen to any individual when God removes his presence. Imagine that. That which he enjoyed, farming, and that which he so needed, the presence of God, both gone immediately because of the rage in Cain's life. The park ranger said that no animal could equal the grizzly bear. No animal in the park, no animal in the state could equal the grizzly bear. If the grizzly bear wanted the food, all other animals would scurry away, leaving the food for the grizzly bear. And then he said, there is one exception. The skunk can eat anything he wants around the grizzly bear. The grizzly bear could defeat the skunk, but it would not be worth it. Well, let me tell you, there's a high cost to losing your temper. It's not worth it. There's a high cost to living in anger. It's not worth it. There's a high cost to resentment. It's not worth it. There's a high cost to rebelling against the command and word of God. It's not worth it. You say, but I deserve to be angry. You don't know what they did to me. Abel didn't do anything to Cain. Abel obeyed the Lord. Well, Pastor, this fella, that woman, this situation was not like Abel. They hurt me. I remind you often, they didn't hurt you as bad as you hurt Jesus. But I also remind you of this. No matter what they did to you, it won't be as bad as what you do to yourself when you allow anger and resentment and bitterness to well up inside of you. They may have slapped you on the outside, but you are dying on the inside when you let resentment and anger and rebellion and bitterness build up in you. When there's somebody out there that when you hear their name, see their face, bump into them at Walmart, Kroger, or downtown, rage fills you. I promise you, it does not hurt them like it hurts you. And if I were to have to be one of those two men, Abel or Cain, I'd choose Abel every time. For he died in obedience to God. And Cain, his anger, rebellion, and resentment, his explosion and his being out of control cost him the thing that he loved to do and the one presence that he needed the most. Be careful. Anger, irritation, irritability, indignation, wrath, fury, rage, that kind of anger. And that's how the first murder took place. And the consequences? It's unrecoverable. You can't give a life back. You can plant a plant. You can harvest again. But you cannot give a life back. You cannot replace what Cain took from Abel, unrecoverable and certainly unenjoyable. God said to him, you'll be restless. You'll be a wanderer. You'll be haunted and hunted. You'll be fearful. You'll be cut off from the presence of the Lord. That's a high price to pay for allowing anger to take control. Let's stand together. I'm sure it's quite the different message than we normally have on Wednesday evenings. And there may be someone here tonight that led you, God led you here because God led me to speak on that subject. There may be somebody that you are angry at, angry with, resentful and bitter because of. And maybe even more than that, there might be somebody here tonight who's angry with God. God allowed it. God let it happen. God accepted him but didn't accept this. God gave him but he didn't give it to me. And all of a sudden you're angry with God. That feeling is going to do nothing but destroy you. And you can be delivered from it. I said you can be delivered from it. You're but a prayer away. Cast all your care on him. Lay it down at the altar. Say, God, I don't want to hate anymore. I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be resentful anymore. I don't want to be bitter anymore. When I see that man or that woman, I want to say thank you for grace. When I see that situation, I want to say, Lord, thank you for deliverance. I don't want to be like Cain. When I have spent all my time on this earth and it's time for me to go, I want to go knowing I've walked in obedience, not walked in anger and resentment and bitterness. And this last thing, I don't know what your excuse is for anger and bitterness and resentment. 50 years of ministry, I think I've just about heard it all. But about the time I think I've heard it all, I hear a new one. Let me tell you something. God's not impressed with your excuse. God doesn't reason like humanity reasons. God has but one question. What have you done? The blood of your brother cries out from the earth. God's not interested in your why. He's interested in His Word and how He tells every one of us to deal with anger, bitterness, resentment before we lose control, and out of control, we take a life. I'll be here in the altar if God speaks to your heart and I can help you in any way.
While passing through this world of sin and others, your life shall view. Be clean and pure without within, let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Your life's a book. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you.